Namaskar.
Bienvenue.
I'm from Bangalore, India.
Dublin, Ireland.
Turkey.
The Philippines.
This is Feet into Words.
I came here to study.
To work.
To volunteer.
Build a life of my own.
Welcome to Feet into Words.
Esto es Con los pies en dos mundos.
Bir ayağım burada, bir ayağım orada yaşıyorum.
Welcome to Feet into Worlds.
When you talk about American fashion, the styles may originate in the U.S., but many of the people making and designing the clothes are immigrants. I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. On this podcast, designers with immigrant roots are establishing themselves at the forefront of American fashion. Joining me in the studio are Carmel Pryor and Tatiana Galzi. They're graduate students at the New School who've been exploring the impact of immigrants on fashion, especially here in New York. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Hi, thank you.
You recently visited an exhibit showcasing the work of Chinese designers. Tell me a little bit about it.
When we talk about Chinese designers, some of them you probably heard their name, like Anna Su, Vera Wang, Vivian Tam, Alexander Wang, or Jason Wu. Some of them are less famous, Philip Lim, Carol Lim, and Huberto Leon. These are the people who make Chinese-American fashion.
And First Lady Michelle Obama has played a role in highlighting the work of Chinese designers, one designer in particular.
First Lady Michelle Obama chose Jason Wu, a Chinese-American designer, to design her inaugural ball gown for both inaugural balls. To learn more about this, we spoke with Herb Tam, who is the curator of the Museum of Chinese America exhibit, Front Row Chinese American Designers.
This show talks about that development of how did these Chinese American designers in New York, how did they flourish all at the same time? What do they have in common and how do they differ? Because they're very different. They have very different narratives. So the show really talks about that.
What we realized is that most, if not all, young rising American designers are actually first or second generation immigrants.
And some well-established designers as well.
There really is no other industry that has been so deeply molded by the different immigration waves as the fashion industry, and at all levels. In Manhattan, in the rag trade and garment production, as well as in design, and it's really become the fashion capital it is today because of it.
Yeah, and we talked with Dr. Hazel Carrick. She's a professor at the MA in Fashion Studies at Parsons, the New School for Design. She particularly studied fashion history and focused on culture. And she explained that it really started with the Eastern European Jews in the end of the 19th century.
They were the people that started the rag trade. They were the people that started clothing production on the Lower East Side, because that was the major skill that was, you know, they were bringing with them, and there were other skills too, other craft skills. But, I mean, it really started, you know, with the Eastern European Jews in the late 19th century and the early 20th century. And then, for example, when people were coming from the Caribbean, but also, of course, in Puerto Rico. I mean, that, you know, Dominican Republic, again, another population of people who had an impact on, you know, keeping the rag trade going, as well as some of the Chinese immigrants who are now, you know, either in the garment center in Manhattan or, you know, working in the much, much downsized garments, garment production in the city in Brooklyn.
Dr. Clark really insisted on the importance of politics, especially immigration policies, both national and local levels, and how it really influenced fashion.
And what does that mean?
It means that in the U.S., the different immigration policies from when it was open at the beginning of the 20th century to the end of quotas in the 1960s and to the closing of immigration law after 9/11, it really shaped the pattern of different immigrants coming here. And it changed both fashion economics and fashion identity.
And what's really interesting is that this can be felt today in this latest wave of designers. Tatiana and I had the chance to actually speak with some students at the Parsons School of Design who told us that being exposed to designers from all over the world helps them broaden their inspirations and really helps their creative process.
So let's go back to the growing Chinese presence in American fashion. What triggered the change from Chinese workers, mainly in factories, working as sewers and so forth, to the fashion leaders that they have become today?
Education, especially the importance of education for the children of Chinese immigrants. And this shift from blue-collar garment work to formal education in fashion design institutions like Porsen at the Fashion Institute of Technology is really the first step of this change.
And Dr. Hazel Clark at Parsons School of Design talked to us about the history of these families and their presence in the garment industry.
This aspiration, I mean, education is, you know, is the way to improve. And that's what families, you know, first generation families are very conscious of coming to this or other cities, of education being one of education of their children being one of the key reasons for coming here. It's not just economic, it's actually to give their children better lives. So, you know, education does move aspirations and certainly moves the aspiration out of a sweatshop mentality.
Herb Tam, the curator of the Museum of Chinese America, also spoke to us about this transition, but he really came to it from a different perspective. He talks about how the new generation of Chinese immigrants embrace the philosophy of the right to pursue happiness.
There is a pressure for Asian American kids, I think, to pursue certain kinds of careers, doctors, lawyers, and whatnot. But at the same time, because those kids were raised here in America with this sense of, you know, the pursuit of happiness and a sense of, like, freedom and not being so attached to, like, a family kind of obligation for what you do, the kind of American part of the Chinese-American experience made it easy just from a psychological perspective to, like, pursue other things. Fashion is what we're talking about now, but it's not the only thing that these kids are now pursuing. There are more Chinese-American artists now. There are more Chinese-American filmmakers, more Chinese-American actors.
And Herb comes to this from his own personal experience. He was actually born in Hong Kong. His parents escaped from communist China to Hong Kong, and then they moved to San Francisco. Unfortunately, his parents were unable to find the same kind of work they had trained for in China.
My mom, who was a nurse in China, had to find some kind of work in America, and she worked in the garment industry. She was a seamstress in a sweatshop. And so my sister and I were kind of raised in that industry. And later on, my parents opened dry cleaners, and my sister and I worked in the dry cleaners, and you know, that's just what we did. A lot of our friends, like, they got into that business too because my parents introduced them into the business, into dry cleaning. These aren't just businesses, like laundry and garment industries and groceries or whatever. They're a very important part of the experience of being American and Chinese at the same time. Like, I just remember the first experiences I had with other kinds of people, not non-Chinese people, were in the dry cleaners and, you know, talking to Mexican people or Caucasian people or whatever. They're important, like, bridges for immigrants into these other communities.
Clearly, the process of moving through the fashion industry has had a profound impact on many people. Does Herb Tam or any of the other people you talk to speak about an actual immigrant aesthetic, or more specifically, a Chinese aesthetic that these designers have brought to American fashion?
Well, I would say that these designers, Chinese American designers, are definitely attached to their community and story, as the number of participants in Herb Tam's show at MoCA exhibits. But Dr. Hazel Clark talked to us about the fact that most of them, because they were educated here, consider themselves as American designers and want to be seen as such. So I think there's been a shift in the influence on the fashion industry, but you can't necessarily pinpoint a quote-unquote Chinese aesthetic. They really want to be a part of American fashion, which is also an extension, a part of the American dream.
Well, Carmel and Tatiana, I want to thank you both for bringing this story to the Feet Into Worlds podcast.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Tatiana Galzi and Carmel Pryor did the reporting for this podcast as part of the Feet Into Worlds journalism course at the New School. Our producers are Aaron Leaf, Jocelyn Gonzalez, and Manolia Charlatan. The engineer is Tarek Fuda. I'm John Rudolph. Thanks for listening.
Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the David and Catherine Moore Family Foundation, the Ralph E. Ogden Foundation, and listeners and readers like you. Join our growing group of supporters. Go to our website, fi2w.org, and click on the support tab in the upper right-hand corner. Feet in Two Worlds, supporting immigrant journalists and bringing their stories to the rest of America. We're a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School.